When you're headed into a stressful situation, remember this from Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth.
Wherever you're going, He will go with you. He will go in you. And He wants to make you fruitful even in the place of your affliction.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, author of Heaven Rules. For June 21st, 2024, I'm Deanna Gresh. Hey, just wanted to take a moment to let you know that today we're having one of our Friday 5 sales. Today's featured resource is a set of scripture cards related to Nancy's book, Incomparable. These cards are a wonderful way to meditate on who Jesus is and what He's done for us. You'll find more information about the discounted Incomparable scripture cards at reviveourhearts.com, so be sure and check that out. Now, when you're facing times of trouble, you can find comfort in God's faithfulness. Nancy's been talking about that over the last couple of days. If you missed any of this practical message, you can hear it at reviveourhearts.com or on the Revive Our Hearts app. Nancy delivered this message to close one of the True Woman conferences hosted by Revive Our Hearts. She's taking us through Psalm 107, which talks honestly about life struggles. Nancy's here to show how this passage also offers hope and refreshment. We're going to review some of what she covered yesterday, and then Nancy will finish her message.
So we've seen trouble, crying, deliverance, and what comes next? Praise and thanksgiving. There's a refrain that's repeated 4 times in this chapter, and the first 2 lines are the same each time. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man. Quoting again my friend Charles Spurgeon, he says, they must be horrible ingrates who will not honor such a deliverer for so happy a rescue from the most cruel death. Listen, if you're a child of God, God has already redeemed and delivered you from the worst possible outcome that anyone, from sin, from Satan, from hell, from eternal damnation and condemnation, from the wrath of God. You have been delivered. You may be in a storm, you may be in some other kinds of chains, but you've been delivered in the ways that matter most for all of time and eternity. So, says the psalmist, give thanks to the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. One devotional writer I've been reading says, a soul redeemed demands a life of praise. You might want to just write that in the margin of your Bible there. I've written it in mine. A soul redeemed demands a life of praise. Women, if you've been redeemed, if I've been redeemed, it is unthinkable that we should live lives of anything other than unceasing, unending praise and thanksgiving and worship. Now, we may do that through tears. And we may do it at times when all around us seems dark, when the waves are so high that we're, you know, like sick to our stomachs and we can't see over them. We can't see beyond them. We can't find our way. We're wandering around. We're at our wit's end. We lift our eyes up to heaven, into the light of His face, up from our darkness. And we say, oh God, choose to believe that You are good, that Your steadfast love endures forever. And I give You thanks that I have been redeemed. A lady wrote to us and she said, years back in the early days of Revive Our Hearts Radio, I was a heap of a mess on my kitchen floor as you spoke about loving your husband. This past week, fast forward, I was once again a heap of slobbering mess, but this time it was out of pure joy, thanksgiving, adoration, worship, and praise to my Heavenly Father for His unending, undeserved faithfulness, grace, and mercy. She said, the Lord has restored my family and my marriage. And here I think this is even more important. He has rescued me out of the slimy pit of self. And every day, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, every day I have the glorious opportunity of speaking biblical truth into the hearts of discouraged women. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Well, let me just walk us quickly through the conclusion here, starting at verse 33, where we see just a reminder of the sovereignty of God over all of life. Verse 33, he turns rivers into a desert. Say, I'm not sure I want that. Springs of water into thirsty ground. We're going the wrong way here. A fruitful land into a salty waste. Don't want that. Why? Because of the evil of its inhabitants. Let me just say a word to some who may be here that you feel really satisfied with the way things are in your life right now. Things are comfortable. Think everything's just going fine. And that's okay to have some of those seasons. God is a God of seasons. But I'm going to tell you this. If in the midst of you thinking everything's going okay, if in the midst of that your heart is not turned toward him, if you are covering sin, if you're living in a slimy pit of self, God can, with a word, change the course of your life. He can turn those rivers into a desert. He can turn those springs of water, what you think are springs of water, into thirsty ground. He can turn what you think is a fruitful land into a salty waste. And let me say to those with prodigal children or friends, husbands, be willing to let God be God in that person's life. And be willing to let God do whatever he knows is needed in their life to make them desperate for him. Because when are they going to cry out to God? When they're in trouble, right? And sometimes the trouble needs to get to be bigger trouble. And you're a mom and you're a wife and you love your kid and you don't want to see him hurt. And some of you are perpetually trying to rescue your kids and your mates and everybody around you from the cross. And God's trying to get them to the cross. And you're always trying to get them off the cross. You may get them off, but they'll be bloodied, and weak, and wounded. God wants them to come whole, to be redeemed, to be rescued from their sin. So let God be God. Don't try to rescue them from the cross. Now, don't you put them on the cross, okay? You let God do what he knows is needed. But here's the good news. Know that whatever discipline God brings about in our lives or those we love, he can also, with a word, restore. Look at verse 35. He turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water, and there he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. You see, in this psalm, we've seen spelled out the theme of this weekend. He wants to take you to a place of freedom. Verse 16, for he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. That sounds like freedom to me. Get up, you're free, go. Sin no more. Freedom. Look at the fullness in verse 9. For he satisfies the longing soul and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Freedom, fullness, and look now at fruitfulness. Verse 37. These people who've been through all this, they've been in trouble, they've cried, they've been delivered, they're giving thanks. Look at verse 37. Now they sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. By his blessing, God sent chastisement, he sent discipline, he sent trouble, he sent storms, but now he sends blessing. They multiply greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. Verse 41, he raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. That's not just for married people, by the way, too. God puts the solitary, the single, in families. God wants to make you fruitful. He wants to, now God doesn't, he's not going to do this. You're going to sow the field. You're going to plant the vineyards, verse 37, but God's going to give the increase, a fruitful yield. He's going to bless and you're going to multiply greatly. And as you're needy and you cry out to him, he's going to raise you up and he's going to make us have families like flocks, fruitfulness in Christ. A lot of women in this room who are going home to hard places, hard jobs, ungodly environments. And for a few days here, you've been able to kind of push that stuff out of your mind. And here we're sitting, you know, on the mountaintop, listening to God's word and singing songs and loving Jesus. And a few hours from now, you're going to be in a whole different place. We have 600 senior pastors' wives here. Some of them, I can tell you, are hurting really badly. Some of them, some of you, are in churches that if God doesn't intervene, it's chaos. It's a mess. It's not what it's supposed to be. Some of you are going back to that tomorrow, if not sooner. But I want to tell you this, wherever you're going, he will go with you. He will go in you. And he wants to make you fruitful, even in the place of your affliction. You can experience fullness, freedom, and fruitfulness in Christ as long as you keep abiding in him and letting him have his way, letting him be God, trusting him with what you can't understand, not demanding answers, not demanding fixes, yes, crying out, and then trusting God to deliver in his way. And not only does God want to turn some of the desert places where you are in his way and time into fruitful places, but for generations to come, the fruit of your walk with Christ will be experienced in the lives of coming generations. One commentator says about this conclusion here, although there are ups and downs in this life, the end of all things for God's people is not down, but up. Can you remember that? We know this and we look for it because we know that God is both good and sovereign. God loves us. And because he does, he comforts us, preserves us, and brings us through even the hardest experiences in life. Two more verses. What's the outcome? Verse 42, the upright see it and are glad. There's joy for the people of God. Anybody here leaving with joy greater than what you came with? Some of you get your joy cup filled. Joy is not an emotion. It affects us in our emotions. But joy is the presence of Christ with me, in me, through me, in the midst of the storm and the pain. But look what else happens. As this redemptive story is lived out, as the gospel is lived out through us, I love this. All wickedness shuts its mouth. Shut up. All wickedness. You see here the restraint of evil. When God's people are being the people of God, as we're living in freedom and fullness and fruitfulness in Christ, in God's time. I watched the news today and I'm going, God, let wickedness shut its mouth. You have the encroaching powers of false religions and evil people in this world. You say, yeah, it's bad out there, but it's true in my world, where I live, in my workplace, in my family. There's so much evil. I want to tell you, one day, as you walk with him through this, all wickedness will shut its mouth. And could I say too, that means also all the wickedness that's in here, in my heart, in your heart. Listen, it's a proud heart that only sees the wickedness out there and thinks it's their problem, it's their issue, it's their fault. That's pride. Heart of humility says, Lord, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, it's me, oh Lord. Uproot the wickedness out of my own heart. And through Christ, all that wickedness can shut its mouth. Final exhortation, verse 43, whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. Listen, there are women in this room who feel like you don't deserve his goodness, his mercy, His love. You're thinking, I deserve what I'm getting. That storm, the prison. Lady came to me last night and said, I made some very foolish choices, much like Chrissy's. And I've repented. I've come back to the Lord, but there were still pulling out thorns in my life. So some feeling, I deserve what I'm getting. And some of you may be reluctant to run into his arms, reluctant to believe that that steadfast love of the Lord could be for you. Well, can I just say, first of all, you're right about one thing. We don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. Those of us who think we deserve it don't deserve it. We don't deserve the steadfast love of the Lord. But he gives it anyway. He gives it to undeserved rebels, enemies. Undeserving. And knowing that, can I remind you that you don't have to perform to be loved by him? You don't have to fix your own life. Cry out to him and believe him to come and do by his grace what you could never do. Could we bow our hearts in prayer in these closing moments? I want to just ask you two questions in this quiet moment. First of all, did you identify with some of the trouble we read about? Maybe right now, are you lost, wandering in some sort of prison, sick, storm-tossed? What do you do when you're in trouble? Cry out to the Lord. A lot of women did that last night. But crying out to the Lord shouldn't be just something we do when an invitation's given. It's something we ought to be doing all the time. Don't stop. Keep crying out. Keep praying. Keep looking up. Cry out to the Lord. Second question. Let me back up. Keep crying out and believe that in his way and in his time, he will rescue you. He will bring you to your desired haven. Second question, have you been redeemed? Have you been delivered from trouble? What do you do? Two things. You give thanks. Do you do that just right now from your heart? Maybe just whisper a prayer of thanks for his redeeming love in your life, for his goodness. And then you tell others. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Declare it to God. Declare it to others.
That's Nancy DeMoss-Walgemuth talking about God's faithfulness in times of trouble. If you missed any of this encouraging message today or any of the messages in this 3-day series, you can hear them again at reviveourhearts.com or on the Revive Our Hearts app. Once we've been redeemed by God, we want everyone we know and love to experience the same freedom. That's why it can be so very painful watching those we love remain far from the Lord. We know what they're missing. Well, here at Revive Our Hearts, we want to help equip you as you stand in the gap for your prodigal. Our team has written a 30-day prayer challenge called While You Wait for Your Prodigal. You'll lean on God's word to sustain you as you wait and see the power of prayer at work. Here's how you can receive a copy of the While You Wait for Your Prodigal prayer challenge. Contact us with a donation of any amount, and when you do, ask about the prayer challenge. If you're making that donation online, there's a place you can indicate that you'd like to receive that thank you gift. We'll mail you one as soon as possible. The book includes space to journal your thoughts and prayers. I think that's cool because you'll be able to look back someday to see how God was at work while you were praying. Again, request it when you make a donation of any amount to Revive Our Hearts, and we'll send you a copy of While You Wait for Your Prodigal as our thanks. Just visit reviveourhearts.com or call us at 1-800-569-5959 and request your challenge. Have a great weekend, friend. Now, next week, Nancy's going to point parents of prodigals to the hope they can have as they wait and pray. Please be back Monday for Revive Our Hearts. This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.